God bless you. That is a precious family right there, no doubt about it. You couldn't see it, but they were holding hands back here. The pulpit was hiding their hand holding. But I appreciate the Lord sending us that family. God bless you. And glad you folks are here. And especially you, Joanna. I don't know so much about Stephen, but no, I'm just kidding with you. Amen. The Lord's been good to us, hasn't he? Amen. I'm getting reports, basically, that some folks got some help this morning. I'm glad for that. And all these fallen trees and cloudy days, they don't have to stop your progress for Jesus Christ. We give God the praise for it. I want you to take your Bible, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. It's a little bit different tonight because we're appointing four new deacons. And I'm preaching to deacons. So yes, all 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. Now's your time to escape the service. Some of you parents were nervous about that, weren't you? 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. Now's your time to escape the service. Ushers, if there are any adults going out, there's my wife. Somebody tackle her. She's not 3, 4, and 5. There's Artie Hall. Somebody tackle him. He's not. Amen. I'm not going to ask how many of you wish you were 3, 4, and 5-year-old, okay? But anyway, I'm preaching to the deacons tonight and their wives. So if you're a deacon or you're one of these four new deacons that are coming on, you and your wife need to pay very close attention as I challenge and encourage. But I remind the church tonight, don't tune me out because I'm preaching specifically to deacons and their wives. Because if it's good enough for the deacons and their wives, it's good enough for everybody. It's just if they're a deacon, God turns the heat up, so to speak. There's no reason for somebody to be a deacon who's not willing to set an example in the things that God wants every Christian to be doing. And the same thing with the pastor and his wife and family. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. Holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. But they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree, and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. If you're in a habit of marking your Bible, it's two words in verse number 8. It's the two words, the deacons. The deacons. And I want to preach to you on the deacons tonight. Let's pray together. Father, would you bless this, I pray. Please, calm our hearts and help us to understand what you want us to hear. And give us help tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. In the pages of God's holy word, there are two scriptural offices. There's the office of the pastor and the office of the deacon. The office of the pastor has to do with leadership, while the office of a deacon has to do with service. As a matter of fact, the word deacon means an attendant, a waiter, a minister, or a servant. That's what it means. In other words, the deacon is not to run the church, but assist the pastor in his God-called duties. And let me pause here and say how grateful I am as the pastor of this church for the wonderful deacons the Lord has given to us. This group of men have tremendous unity in their midst, and for that, church, you need to praise God for that, no doubt about it. They're a great help to me in the ministry here. It's truly a blessing to have these deacons so we can press forward as we try to reach our community, our nation, our world with the gospel of the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ. As we come to this portion of Scripture, we see the deacons are put on display for our attention. And in studying this passage together, we're going to be noticing different things about the deacons that God brings out for us. Therefore, if you're a deacon at this church, please pay special attention to this message. But at the same time, all of God's children can learn some great lessons about how the Lord wants us all to live the life that He's given us to live. Now, there's several things I want to give you tonight. All of them begin with the letter H. I don't always alliterate, but when I can, I try to do that to help you remember the outline. Number one, The first thing we notice is the deacon's holiness. We see this in verses 8 through 10. I'm not going to read that again, but we will be drawing attention to these verses. As we look at these several things the Apostle Paul is mentioning to Timothy about the deacons, we see a great truth come shining through. God demands for the deacons to be holy in their lives. Now let me say before we look at these different things together, as we just walk through these verses together, that no deacon in his right mind would claim that he meets these standards all the time. No deacon would say, "That's me all the time," okay? A deacon will not be sinless and will fall short in these areas more than likely at different times. Hopefully not all of them, but some of them for sure. But a deacon should strive to live a holy life that's pleasing to the Lord. Now let's walk through these verses and show you where I'm getting. How do we know that God wants them to be holy? Well, let's just walk through these verses. Verse 8, the Bible says that the deacons must be grave. That doesn't mean dead, okay? That's not what that means. It doesn't mean there to be a deadbeat or a person who never smiles. No, that's not what that means. What this word grave means is that they're not to be frivolous or shallow. They are to be serious-minded with dignity and respectability, recognizing the importance of their God-called part in this local church. In other words, when God calls you to be a deacon, that is a very serious thing in the eyes of Almighty God. Serious thing. Sober thing. And this is something that you shouldn't be frivolous about it, shouldn't be shallow about it. You ought to be serious-minded with dignity and respectability, recognizing that what God's called you to do is such an important part of this local church. Secondly, in verse number 8, says they're not to be double-tongued. You know what that means? They're not to be two-faced. Look it up. Look it up. You know, we live in a world where every one of us have to fight against this. Where we say one thing to this person and something else to this person. The fact of the matter is that they're not to tell different stories to different people. They are to be men who simply tell it like it is. Deacons are to be men of their word and honest in their dealings. Acts 6:3 says, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report." I don't plan on dwelling long on any of these. I'm just tapping these on the head, so to speak. This is all under their holiness, that God wants them to be set apart. He wants them to be different from the world. He wants them to live a holy life. Be grave, be sober, be vigilant, be serious-minded, be a dignified person, be somebody who doesn't take for granted what God's called you to do. And don't be double-tongued. Just speak the right things all the time. Be a man of your word. Third, the Bible says not given to much wine. The deacons are to be men who stay away from alcoholic beverages. Amen. Let me explain here that the heathen priest, now listen to this, the heathen priest would not drink wine entering the temple. At the same time, Jewish ministers of every rank were prohibited to use wine when they engaged in God's service. Interesting, isn't it? That if you're going to serve God as a minister and as a priest, whatever the case may be, you are not to drink wine if you're going to serve God. Leviticus 10:9 says, "Do not drink wine nor strong drink. Thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die." Wow! It shall be a statute forever through your generations. And let me ask you a question. If the heathen priest, not even God's priest, but the heathen priest and the Jewish ministers held to a no alcohol standard, don't you think the leaders of the local church should do the same? Amen. By the way, that's good for you, whether you're a pastor, a pastor's wife, a deacon's wife, or just a Christian. Amen. Proverbs 23:31-32, "Look not thou upon the wine when it's red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, stingeth like an adder." Let me ask you a question. What are you going to lose if you never touch alcohol? What are you going to lose if you never touch it? I know people try to debate and all this other kind of stuff. I just want you to know you got a pastor that believes you should never touch the stuff. Amen. And what I'm saying here is, what are you going to lose if you never touch it? Look at me. You'll lose absolutely nothing. But if you touch it, you're flirting with going different. I'm talking about a lot more into that. You're flirting with temptation, and you could end up losing everything. Here at Buffalo Ridge, we don't allow any deacon to use any type of alcoholic beverages. We demand. You say, that's legalism. No, it's not, because it's not about salvation. You understand legalism is work salvation. You understand that, right? It's not legalistic. This is just a church holding some standards, and if they're going to be a deacon, they're not to touch alcohol. Amen. Now, folks, that's not easy to preach today. You understand that? Because we live in a world where people just open, what's wrong with taking a little taste? What's wrong with it? If you're interested in learning more about this topic so I don't get bogged down, I've already preached on that, the stronghold of alcohol. And you can go back and get it. I go into a lot more detail. I go into the social drinking, other things. I think I did that. You can go get that. Let me move on. Aren't you glad I'm moving on? Amen. This is all under holiness. God demands them to be different. Don't just live like the world. Be different. The fourth thing we see, this is in verse 8, where he says they're not to be greedy of filthy lucre. In the New Testament, this really spoke to them, because in the New Testament, the deacons were involved in passing out money to widows. They were involved in passing out money to orphans and needy people. They were also in charge of collecting and dispensing money for church purposes. As you can see, with this being the case, the deacons could be tempted to pocket some of the money. You see what I'm saying? Or use it for their own selfish purposes back in the Bible days here. In the same way, even though the deacons here do not handle the money this way, they are still to be men who are not out to get what they can. They should be out to give all they are. They're not to be some kind of a con artist. They're not to be in it for money. I hope they're not in it for money here, because if they are, they're not going to get a penny. If you understand what I'm saying to you. But you understand that back in this day, how that's so applicable. Because the deacons were handling the money in the church, so to speak, and the Word of God here says, don't let them be in it for filthy lucre. In other words, don't be a deacon with the wrong motive. Amen. 1 Timothy 6:10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. The next thing we see here, all under their holiness, is they have to be proven. Verse number 10. This simply means that a deacon is not to be placed into an office without first being tested to see if they meet the standards placed on this God-called office. And this is one reason why we do not allow any man to become a deacon who has not been a faithful member of this local church for at least 2 years. At least 2 years. Even after this, if they are voted in as a deacon, we're to keep on proving them to make sure they are fulfilling the scriptural demands placed on this office. In other words, it is possible that somebody can kick the traces even when they become a deacon. Just like a pastor can go off even when he's in the pastorate, but that doesn't mean you keep him as the pastor. Amen. You've got to hold him to these standards. Again, the final thing here is the Bible says he's got to be blameless, the last word in verse number 10. This is all part of their holiness. This is the first thing, verses 8 through 10, their holy, the deacon's holiness. God wants them to be holy, separate from the world, different from the world. This word blameless here, it means unaccused. It means irreproachable. In other words, they are to live their lives in such a way that it does not leave any question to their character and their integrity that would compromise their appointed position. In other words, they're to live a holy life. They are to be so blameless that there's nothing anybody can say that will stick on them. You can't grab anything. They're just slippery. You can't hold on to anything. Say, see, he shouldn't be a deacon. See, there's nothing to hold on to. They're blameless. Doesn't say sinless. It says blameless. Their testimony, they have a good testimony. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 and 23 puts it this way. Don't turn to it. Just stay right there in the passage with me. These verses say, abstain from all appearance of evil. All appearance of it. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. First thing, the deacon's holiness. Live a holy life. Secondly, we see the deacon's holding. Holding. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Now, this is still part of holiness, but I wanted to separate this because it just puts another twist on it here. In this verse, we see the Apostle Paul sharing with us, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that deacons have the mystery of the faith, and they're to hold on to it. Deacons should have something in their hands that they never let go of. You know what it is? It's the mystery of the faith. What's that mean? Now, I remind you, in Scripture, a mystery is not something that no one knows about. In other words, today, if somebody says that's a mystery, that means who knows? A Bible mystery is simply a truth that was once hidden but now is revealed. In other words, there are no more mysteries as far as like like the mystery of the gospel, the mystery of the faith. What is this? It was once hidden, but now it's been revealed. Stay with me here. See, now we know the faith, that terminology, we know now, it was a mystery, but now we know that the term, the faith, is synonymous with the gospel, Romans 16:25. Therefore, a deacon is to hold on to the gospel that he has, that's saved him, that's changed him. In other words, deacons are to live their lives in accordance with the gospel that has saved their soul. Then the Word of God tells us he's to hold on to the gospel in a pure conscience. In other words, he's to live a life according to the gospel in a way that his heart does not condemn him. In summary, what this is simply saying is a deacon is to be a child of God who believes right, holding on to the fact to the faith that has saved him with an upright life, maintaining truth of doctrine and soundness of faith by sincerity of heart and integrity of life. In other words, deacons are to stand in the truth. This means they must be saved. And they must stand for the truth by living by the truth and not indulging in sin. In a nutshell, they're saved and they prove it by the way they live. That's what it means. That they are saved and they prove it by the way they live their life. They are holding on to the faith. Let me say here, that one way to live by the faith is to saturate yourself with the wonderful Word of God on a daily basis. Deacons are to be men of the Bible. Their wives are to be wives of the Bible. God's children are to be children of the Bible. It's no different. It's just that if you're going to be a deacon, God expects you to do these things. He wants every child of God to do it, but he holds the deacons and their wives up and says, this is what you are to do or you're disqualified. Wow! It's an honor to be a deacon in a local church that teaches and preaches the Word of God. What an honor this is! Number one, their holiness, they're to be different. They're holding, they're to be saved and hold on to the gospel and live with a pure conscience that they're not condemning the message that saved them with the way they live, but they're complimenting it, they're holding it, they're holding on to it with everything they've got. That's their holding. Third thing we see is their household. This is found in verses 11 and 12. In these verses, we see the household of the deacon put on display for us. In other words, we see some things that are to be true about his family. Here we go now. The first thing that's mentioned is his wife. Verse 11, look at it. In this verse, we see that it's possible for a deacon's wife to disqualify him from his sacred office. This goes to show that the Lord sees this as very important. Now, before we look at these particular things, let me say that the wives of our deacons here are great ladies. And they should strive to live in accordance to these scriptural demands. And I'm telling you something, friends, we need to thank God for the deacons we have at Buffalo Ridge. We need to thank God for their wives because these folks are people of integrity and character. They love God. I believe they love each other. They love their pastor. They love their church. And I thank God for them. But this is what God says about their household, their wife. She must be grave. Again, that doesn't mean dead, okay? It simply means dignified, ladylike. She sees the importance of spiritual things. doesn't mean she doesn't have a sense of humor. No, it doesn't mean that at all. I hope I have a sense of humor. It may be rotten, but I've got a little sense of humor. But we ought to be serious when it comes to spiritual things. That the things of God are taken seriously. It's important to them. Secondly, the Bible says they're not to be slanderers. You know what that means? That means don't be a gossip. Should I get under the pulpit here or something, you know? It means don't be a false accuser. It means you don't utter falsehood that damages somebody else's reputation. It's all in this word, a slanderer. Somebody says, I'm not gossiping, I'm telling the truth. What's your motive? What's your motive? You can tell the truth and be a slanderer. Amen. Some people think that's their God-called ministry, to tell everybody everything about everybody else. And I'm telling you that stuff like this is destroying churches from the inside out. And we are not, by the way, this is good for everybody, but God specifically says it about the deacon's wife here. Let me say here that nobody, me, anybody, nobody is ever more like the devil than at this time. Somebody says, when am I like the devil the most? When you gossip, when you accuse, when you slander. Because the Word of God plainly teaches us that death and life, Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And the Word of God plainly tells us that this is who he is. Let me tell you who he is. He's a liar. He's a slanderer. Here's what the Bible says about him in John chapter 8, verse 44. It says, ye are your father the devil. The lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. Wherefore he speaketh a lie. Excuse me. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. And then in the book of Revelation, chapter number 12, verses 9 and 10, here's what it says. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. You know, it's a shame when God's children start accusing other of God's children. Even if it's true, if they start gossiping and start accusing and start slandering, that's what the devil's doing right now to God's people. In other words, excuse me, keep your mouth shut. We all need to learn that lesson, starting right here. Then he says the third thing, they're to be sober. This means serious-minded, not flippant, not under the control of passion, disciplined. The fourth thing is they're to be faithful in all things. That means trustful. This should summarize her to her Lord. She's just faithful to him. This should summarize her to her husband. She's just faithful to him. This should summarize her to her children. She's just a faithful mother. Should summarize her relationship to her church. She's just faithful here. Here, every time the door's open that she possibly can be, she's faithful in the things of God. Hey, I can get in on that. Do you know that? You can too. Some people think, well, I can't do what they do, and I can't do it the way they do, and I can't do it. God didn't call you to do it the way they did it, but God calls everybody just to be faithful. Everybody can be faithful. Just be consistent. Be here. Love the Lord. Love your spouse. Take care of your children. Be faithful to church. Reading your Bible. Having a prayer life. Giving the gospel. Just be faithful. This is his wife. Talking about his household now. Now he moves in verse 12 into the area of his marriage. This is all under his household. Talks about his wife. Four things. Then he talks about his marriage in verse number 12. Notice this now in verse number 12. That the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own house as well. This simply means he's to be a one-woman man. That's what it means. His wife should be the apple of his eye, and he should not be looking elsewhere. A deacon should be infatuated with the wife that God has blessed him with. He should be a man with a strong marriage. Strong marriage. Completely committed to his wife in personal and emotional purity. At the same time, this qualification rules out divorced men from being a deacon. Let me say this. Some of the finest people in our church are divorced. But it was never God's plan. Amen. And let me say this. This does not mean they are less useful than other men, only less qualified. Did you hear that statement? They're not less useful. No, no, no. But they're less qualified. In other words, God holds it to a standard that if somebody's divorced, they should not be a deacon in the local church. You think this is easy to preach? It's not, but it's the truth, friends. And I'm telling you, that's why no divorced man will be voted in as a deacon at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Yet they can do so many other things. I mean, they can teach Sunday school. They can run bus routes. They can be ushers. They can basically do anything else we're doing except be a deacon. And they should not be the pastor of the church. Then he goes to the children in verse number 12. This is all his household. He talks about his wife, talks about his marriage. Now he talks about his children, verse 12. He says, ruling their own children and their own house as well. A deacon is to be one who rules over his children well. He's to be one who presides over his own children in a way that pleases the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, not with severity or not with tyranny, but with seriousness and sincerity. This means he's the one in control in his house. In other words, he has control at home over his kids, and his kids do not have control over him. The idea here is a deacon who's to help in the government of the church on a large scale must be one who can govern on a smaller scale in his own home. Now, this is why a deacon should live right in front of his children. He should love them. He should set standards for them, enforce those standards that are set. God expects the father to take charge in the home. That's God's plan. God wants the man to take the lead. Now, with this being the case, let me say this. The church should not, listen to me closely. The church should not expect the pastors or the deacons' kids to be perfect. Amen. Because I've got news for you. If you think your pastor has perfect children, you've got the wrong man. My kids are not perfect. And it's not fair on them to think that everybody's looking at them. Well, they shouldn't be doing that. They're the pastor's kids. Wait a minute. Nobody should be doing that, whether it's the pastor's kids or your kids. Amen. Don't get me riled up there. You know I'm shooting straight with you here. This is the way it should be. And one thing that the deacon should be doing is living right in front of his kids, taking control of his home, and making sure we're going God's way. Now, ultimately, those children, it's coming to a point where they have to make that decision themselves. But they should not be running the home. They should not be calling the shots at home. Daddy should be. You glad you came to church tonight? Some of you probably not, you know what I mean? But anyway, let me give you the fourth thing about the deacons. We've looked at their holiness, that God wants them to be holy and separate from the world. We've looked at their holding, that God wants them to know they're saved and hold on to the faith of the gospel by the way they live and how they act. They ought to know they're saved, and they ought to prove it by the way they live. Their household, God wants their wife to be a certain way, and he wants their marriage to be a certain way, and he wants their children to be under control, if you will, and being led by the dad. The mom together, you understand, but the father's got to lead. And here's the fourth thing about the deacons. We see what I call their honor. Their honor. Verse number 13, look at this. For they that have used the office of a deacon well. Now, look here, please. If God says a deacon can use the office well, what's that tell you? They can also use it not well, okay? But he says if you use the office of a deacon well, you purchase to yourself a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. It's almost like he's, I don't know if this is the right way to put this, but just to give you something, it's almost like he's putting a sugar stick out here for you. If you're a deacon, you're a deacon's wife. He said, if you'll follow me and you'll determine to use this office well, I'm going to do something for you. I'm going to give you a reward. I'm going to honor you. There's two things he said that he's going to give you. He said, first of all, a good degree. Notice he didn't mention a PhD, a doctorate, a BA or master degree. He didn't say that. But rather, he said, I'll give you a good degree. You know what this means? This means better, a step, grade, or dignity. In other words, a deacon who uses the office well, God says you'll graduate with honors. Isn't that precious? You know how some people graduate with honors, you know what I mean? They graduate, thank God they graduate, but some of them graduate with honors. And God said, if you'll use the office of a deacon well, when you graduate, you'll graduate with honors. It's a precious thing he's saying here. He will have an honorable reputation with enlarged influence and usefulness, and one day when he sees his Lord, he'll be glad he did. Then he says, I'm going to give you great boldness in the faith. This simply means he will have great freedom of speech and readiness to contend for and defend the gospel. In other words, he'll not be ashamed to speak out for the cause of Christ, realizing he is free from an impure conscience. When a deacon is not careless and unfaithful in his duty, it helps him to be bold in the faith instead of timid. In other words, God's saying this, if you'll abide by these characteristics, if you'll submit yourself to these qualifications, God says you'll be bold in your faith. You know what this tells me? I'm convinced that one reason why some people never share the gospel, they do not have boldness to share it, is they know their life doesn't back it up. They feel like a hypocrite. How can I give the gospel that's going to change somebody's life and I say, God, save me, and I'm not living it? God says, if you'll use the office of a deacon right, he's saying this, you'll have great boldness. Great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. I'll embolden you. Look here. This is my last page of notes. Right after that statement right there, where I say when a deacon is not careless and unfaithful in his duty, it helps him to be bold in the faith instead of timid. I've got in bold, italicized words, God, give us some deacons like this around this country. And I say give us deacons like that at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I'm about done. Amen, I know, you're ready. The two men in God's Word who were greatly used by God, two of them, among others, but there were two that I want to bring out specifically. Their names are Stephen and Philip. You can read about them in Acts chapter 6 and chapter 7. In those chapters, you read specifically about Stephen. And see how the Lord used Stephen in a great way. You can then read in Acts chapter 8 and see how the Lord used Philip in a wonderful way. Philip, an Ethiopian eunuch. Stephen and his stoning and all of that when he's preaching the gospel. I remind you, according to Acts chapter 6, verse 5, both of these men were deacons. And as I was meeting with the deacons before church tonight, I shared this with them. And I want to share it with them again in front of you. Because their wives, they were not in there at this time when I shared this. And I want this to speak to them. One of the most glorious verses in God's Word is found in Acts chapter 7, verse 56. Where people were stoning Stephen to death. When he speaks and he says, and I quote, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Last time I read my Bible, Jesus took a seat. When he got finished, and he sat down at the right hand of his heavenly Father. But when Stephen was being stoned, let this speak to your heart. The Lord sitting at the right hand of the heavenly Father, as Stephen was being stoned, stood up in honor. You've seen me stand up when a lady walks on the platform, it's out of honor. And the Lord is standing in honor, watching, and getting ready to welcome Stephen home. It's the only time you'll find it in the Word of God. Now, does this mean that the Lord never stood for anybody else? I don't know. I don't know. But the only one we know he stood for is Stephen. And Stephen was a deacon. Wow. Deacons, if you don't mind, would you and your wife just stand for a moment? Even you who are getting ready to be voted on, I want all of you to stand for just a moment. I want to speak directly to you. You have an exalted privilege to be in this God-called office. Determine that you're going to live in such a way that when death comes knocking at your door, the Lord will stand. There ought to be something inside of you and your wife that says, grant it, Jesus, grant it. Help me live in such a way that my Lord stands to welcome me home. It'll only happen if you live by these qualifications right here. Your holiness. You're holding the gospel. Your household is in order. And God is going to give you a great honor and let you graduate with honor someday. I love you all. Thank God for you. And I hope you never get over the fact that God has called you to be a Stephen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder tonight, as I preach to the deacons and their wives, I wonder if God used something to speak to your heart. Maybe God used something just to challenge you tonight. Maybe challenge your holiness, or challenge your holding, or challenge your household. You say, I'm not a deacon, not even going to... And I'm not being voted on as a new one in this local church, but God spoke to me tonight. There's something, Pastor, that was said, or maybe it wasn't said, but the Holy Ghost of God has His finger on something. He's challenging you. What a blessing. If God has spoken to you, don't ever be ashamed. Understand that God is, by His grace and mercy, dealing with you. With heads bowed and eyes closed as they begin to play through softly, I wonder tonight, before I even extend the invitation, I never want to let a service come and go without giving you the opportunity of trusting Jesus Christ. The Lord is a wonderful Savior. He's a precious Savior. And if you're saved, you know that's the truth. But is there one among us say, Pastor Jody, I'm not a Christian. I'm not saved. If I died just like I am, I don't have assurance that heaven's my home. If that's you, I want to invite you in just a moment to come. Let us take a Bible and share the gospel with you, a lady with a lady, a man with a man. And let us help you tonight, point you to Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, is there one here tonight? Say, pray for me. I'm not even sure I'm a Christian, or maybe you know you're lost. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I would not draw attention to you, but if that's you, I'm talking to you. When I extend the invitation, I'm asking you to come and let us help you get it settled tonight. You'd be glad you did. I promise you that. What about it, church? Is God speaking to you? Your holiness? Your holding? Your household? You want to graduate with honors? I remind you that there's crowns to work for at the judgment seat of Christ, not to keep, but to cast at the feet of Jesus. Is that our graduation day? Or we graduate with honors so we can bless the Lord? In just a moment, I'm going to ask you if the Lord wants you to come. I want you to come. Maybe you deacons tonight, maybe God's challenged your heart. Maybe He's just reminded you. What a blessing, what a privilege, what an honor to be known as a deacon, as a deacon's wife. Why not just come and rededicate yourself? I'm not talking about your life's out not in order. I'm just saying just a fresh dedication of service to Jesus. Saying, oh God, help me be a better deacon than I ever have been. To do more than I've ever done. Serving you. Pleasing you. That's it. I'm my brother Gary to begin to sing in just a moment. I'm going to pray. We're not even going to stand tonight, but I invite you to get out of your seat and come. Father, would you take it and use it, I pray. In Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you need to be saved, or if you just want to come and pray, or if several of you deacons want to get out of your seat and bring your wife, bring your family, and get on this altar and say, oh God, make me the best deacon that's ever drawn breath. Help me to serve you all my days. As Brother Gary sings, you come now, would you please? As he sings, come on, come talk to God.
Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will.
Play through softly. What about it? What about it? Everything rises and falls on leadership. That's what Dr. Lee Robertson would say. I agree with him. That starts with the pastor, the staff, the deacons. Doesn't end there, but it starts there. Are we where we need to be? Is God pleased? Hey, Brother Gary, sing one more verse. If nobody else comes, this will be it. We'll proceed with this special service. As he sings, come on, there's time for you.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me,
Master,
today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now. As in thy presence, humbly I bow.
Others responded, just keep singing, Brother Gary. One more verse, if nobody else can.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way.
This way. You can keep playing there if you don't mind. And call the church into session. Business meeting. And these deacons and their wives and families that I'm going to introduce to you. It reminds you that it's set up in our bylaws that the deacons will recommend these deacons to be. And then it must be unanimous between the pastor and all the current deacons before it ever comes to the church for a vote. As far as we know, everything's in order with these men. They're men of God. They love the Lord. Men of character, upright integrity. You say, why are we voting on new deacons? Because I'm shaking some things up around here, amen. And I need some more help with some things I'm doing with some ministries and putting some deacons as caretakers, not leaders, but caretakers. This will make sense later, hopefully, especially to the leaders and individual ministries. Dividing the church family up among the deacons, so that's just another way of not trying to let people fall through the cracks. Obviously, the more deacons you have, the less responsibility that is on them. So we're excited about it, no doubt about it. I'd like Rick and Nancy Hall, if you'll come, Rick and Nancy, where you're at. It's Brother Hall and his wife Nancy. They're just going to stand right down here, just side by side. And I want their wives are coming. One of them has children still in the home, so that's a blessing. Just stand right here and just face the crowd there, if you don't mind. I'd like for Andy and Stephanie Krause to come, if they'll come. Andy and Stephanie, God's using these folks in a great way, all of these folks. Praise the Lord for it. I'd like for Shannon and Katie and their children, Noah and Bailey, if they'll come. They're standing here before us. Amen. I think Noah's wearing my suit. Yeah. And I'd like for Danny and Shirley Jenkins to come, if they'll come. Amen. These are the four men that the deacons have recommended and we voted on, and it's unanimous there, and we're recommending to you that you adopt them, that you appoint them as deacons of this local assembly. These are them. They've been saved. They've been baptized. They've been members of this church for a long time. They are gun barrel straight, friends. Amen. I'm going to call on Brother Scott Martin, if you'll come and make this a motion, and we'll proceed, okay?
Rick Hall, Danny Jenkins, and Andy Krause to the deacon board. And I make this a motion.
The motion has been made. Could I get a second to this motion, please? Brother David Hayes, all members who are here, say aye. Raise your hand high. Any opposed? Same sign. So carry, it's official, friends. And we thank the Lord for it. I want them just to have a seat right here on the front row, all of them. We're going to conclude our service tonight. I'm going to have you play in just a moment, okay? I want all of our deacons and your wives, if you'll come and just make a line right here. This is a special time. All of you, if you'll come right now, please, okay? All deacons and wives, if you'll just make your way up here and make a line right here. And we're just going to file through. And preacher, lastly, I'm going to ask you to pray over them. And then I'm going to pray. So you and I are going to pray tonight, if that's okay with you. And so these folks, just as she plays, you can go ahead and start playing. If you'll just make your way just past them, say a few words to them. If you want to just whisper a prayer to them, you go right ahead. We're going to start on this end, folks, okay? This end down here, if you don't mind. Let's do it on this end. That'll be good, all of that. Somebody pick her up and take her to the back of the line, okay? That'll be good. You can go right ahead. God bless you. Preacher, when the last one comes through, if you'll come and pray right here, and then I'm going to pray right here, okay? Just make sure he has a microphone, Brother Gary, and that'll be good. Amen. While we're doing this, let me remind all the parents of teens going to Joshua Camp, just the parents, not the teens, you'll be having a meeting in the blue room right after church tonight. That'll be good. If you're visiting with us, please take your visitor's card out through the lobby, drop it off to Welcome Center. And we've got a special gift for you. A little different tonight. You came in on a special service. I hope you'll come back to a normal service, for another time. But we're glad you're here tonight. No doubt about that. Praise the Lord for it, okay? We're just about done. Just hang with me here for a few minutes, okay? All the deacons, if you'll stay up here with us, please, okay? Preacher, you can just stand right there in just a moment, okay? And then when he prays, I'll pray, and then we'll give a few instructions and we'll be done, all right? I do need to dismiss the meeting while I'm thinking about this. Could I get a motion that we dismiss the business meeting? Brother Eugene, Brother Joe, second, all in favor, just say amen. Wonderful, okay? Thank you. Right, if you folks wouldn't mind to stand with these and just join the rest of them right here. I'm just talking to the deacons here, okay? Sorry about that. That's my fault. If you'll stand and just join them, turn around and look at the crowd. Preacher Lashley, if you'll pray, sir, and then I'll close us in prayer. Go right ahead, sir, please.
Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the great deacons that you've given us here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. Lord, I know them intimately, served with them, and they're men of God. And thank you for these four that we are appointing tonight. Lord, they're great men, and it'll be a wonderful addition to this church. And Lord, we can't serve you in any way without your help. We need the smile of God on our lives. We need the blessed Holy Spirit of God. And so right now, I pray that you would, for these four new deacons, I pray that you'd fill them with the Holy Spirit tonight for this great responsibility. And the deacons that we've have that served so faithfully, so faithfully.
Amen.
Lord, we love them and appreciate them and give them anew a touch of the Holy Spirit in their lives, Lord, yes, because as this day gets more evil and as there are great falling away going across America, we need men of God, men filled with His Holy Spirit as deacons in all of our Baptist churches, and especially at this church.
Yes.
Thank you for the good men, Lord, that you sent us. They're a gift from God.
Amen.
And just keep your hands now upon these deacons. Use them mightily for your glory. Lord, may they steer this church in the way of God, in
yes,
the way of God's word.
Amen.
Keep your hand upon us, Lord. Lord, you've blessed us ever since they started in 1779. And your hand has been upon us all these years. Lord, keep us true on these grounds to the word of God and the God of the word.
Amen.
Until the trumpet sounds and we see our blessed Savior in all of His glory yonder in the sky. Now, God, again, breathe upon them. Bless each one of them and their dear wives.
Yes.
And may the church progress with their leadership.
Please.
Spirit-filled leadership, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen.
Father, we continue and thank you for the privilege of calling us to serve you. And I pray that you help us as the leaders of this local church some glorious day to graduate with honors. And may we be able to cast our crowns at the nail-scarred feet of Jesus Christ. Keep your hand upon this church, I pray, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you go, two or three announcements. Marty Scroggs is a deacon. He's not here. He's out of town. Pray for Jack Mosier. He's one of our deacons. He needs God to touch him physically. And let's ask God to keep us true to him till the trumpet sounds. I'd like for these four new deacons and their wives and children, if that applies, to make your way to the lobby, okay, if you'll do that now. I'm sure you may want to speak to them, shake their hand, whatever you want to do. Encourage them. These men and women are here to serve. They're here to serve. and they want to serve you. So go by them, shake their hand, all of that. That'll be good. I'm proud of these men and women. God bless them. If you're visiting with us, welcome to the church service. God bless you. Thank you very much. You are dismissed tonight. Thank you for coming.